Two.
I was dreaming that dream again. I held a balloon on a long string. The sky was a brilliant, dazzling blue. I squinted up past the glistening sun rays to see my balloon, only to discover it was really a small boy, with black hair and huge eyes, floating upwards. I knew I had to hold tightly to the string, or he'd float right up beyond the clouds. This time, a hand reached out to take the string away from me. I wanted to fight for the string, but I was too weak. I knew the little boy. His name was Pablo. I was supposed to protect him. I was supposed to hold on to that string. "Pablo! Pablo!" I screamed to the clouds, hoping by some miracle to call him back.
"Lynx, baby, wake up. You have to wake up now. You're dreaming."
The wide expanse of Stryker's muscular shoulders hovered over me. His hands grasped my upper arms, stilling my struggle against the webbing that secured me to my backboard.
"Stryker! Oh, dear God!"
I panted for enough breath to continue. Sweat ran across my face, stinging the inner corners of my eyes and my open sores.
"It should have been the first word out of my mouth."
I frantically clawed at the sheets, trying to pull myself upright.
"There's a little boy. I promised. I have to get to him. I promised."
"Lynx, lie still,"
Stryker commanded.
"You don't understand."
I slapped angrily at his hands, holding tightly to my shoulders.
"I do understand. We found your letters on the plane. You wrote to me."
Stryker sounded so reasonable, so in control, antithetical to the craziness that spun my sun-bleached thoughts.
"You asked me to honor your memory by saving Pablo in the village south of your prison."
"Yes, I have to get to him."
My eyes felt wild in my head.
"Randy and Axel were already there at the prison looking for you."
Stryker's words struck a slow, steady cadence, and I could understand them, even through my drug-hazy desperation.
"They went to Franco and Alicia's cottage, and brought the whole family to the States. They're in Florida."
He loosened his grip on my shoulders, and reached for a damp cloth on my bed table, and used it to pat the perspiration from my face. I lay still, wondering if I were hallucinating this conversation.
"Pablo had a fever when Axel and Randy brought him in,"
Stryker said.
"I received a report from Axel 2 hours ago. The doctors are stabilizing the boy and starting tests."
Stryker's words were too miraculous to be believed. I didn't believe them. I must be imagining things again. How did they find my prison? When? My mind was set on replay, trying to comprehend these new ideas.
"You found my goodbye letters in the plane?"
I asked warily.
"Yesterday morning when we brought you here, Jack was with the plane. He combed through your letters and contacted Axel. The team moved in immediately."
He picked a strand of hair from my bandage and tucked it behind my ear. I squeezed Stryker's arms until my fingers felt bloodless. He felt real, but still.
"Pablo's in the hospital in the United States?"
"When they sedated Mom in the hospital, she acted this way, asking the same questions over and over again. It had taken a lot of patience to get any piece of information across to her. I felt that brain numbness. It was hard to hold on to a solid thought. Everything seemed gossamer and just out of my reach.
"At a children's hospital in Florida,"
Stryker said.
"The doctors think he'll be all right. He didn't die because of me?"
"He's alive today because of you."
"Oh, I need to digest that. You can't imagine."
My panic calmed, giving way to the cogent thought.
"All those long days trapped by the storm. I knew if I died..."